Well, welcome everybody. I see it's a relatively short list today, so let's get right to it. Can we have an update from the ICG? I guess Keith, could you at least kick us off? And I see Mary and Martin are both on the call as well, so they can add color. Keith, are you there? If you are, you're on mute.
Yeah, we could hear Keith in just. Maybe Martin, can you kick it off?
Apologies.
Keith is there. Yeah, okay.
I just connected myself rather than unmuting myself. So. It's too early. Too early in the morning, I tell you. Okay, so you want an update from ICG. Just before that, I just note there's another meeting collision with the CWG IANA group and their council call this Thursday. So whoever's scheduling our calls, can they make people aware that, you know, what dates and times our calls are? There needs to be a strong discussion between the secretariats of the various groups to try and avoid these collisions of meetings.
That's a good point. Thank you, Keith. So maybe I could ask Bart if the secretariat could certainly be aware of that and minimize it wherever possible. And given there's only a few people on the prep call, there's certainly the opportunity to rejig them if possible.
Yep. Well, if there is a chance that this week's could come an hour earlier, that would allow me to go all the way through on that. Anyway, ICG update. We met last on the 25th of February by conference call, and we're meeting again next week on the 12th and then again on the 26th of March. Still a number of calls scheduled for the ICG group. The last meeting, the main focus of discussion was again on the timeline. As you might well imagine, there's the desire to progress and move ahead with both the protocols and numbers proposals and also a desire to know and understand when the names proposal and the accountability aspects can be finalised and how that might knit together. I think the subsequent list discussion since our meeting on the 25th, it might well be that the chairs of the CWG IANA and perhaps even also accountability be invited to attend the ICG meetings, which are being held on the Thursday and Friday before ICANN Buenos Aires, and have a general discussion about where things are at and where things can go, or even more optimistically, to hear the names proposal at that point. So there's some moves to invite those chairs to be there in Buenos Aires earlier. Other than that, there was a lot of discussion about whether to combine the protocols and numbers proposals into one document and try and proceed with that in the interim as a single document. I think that the decision on that will likely be not to, that it'll remain two separate documents until the names proposal is received, and then it can be seen how they'll mesh together. Oh, excuse me. And then In terms of the protocols and numbers, the step two assessment has started, and that might end up assessing that they should be combined. And that's pretty much it from the ICG at this stage. So in some ways it's making quite good progress, in other ways it's stalled and waiting for inputs from names and accountability. So thanks for that.
Thank you, Keith. Any questions or comments for Keith or the ICG in general, or would Mary or Martin like to supplement Keith's input? No, seeing no hands. Okay, we'll move on to the next item. So thank you for that, Keith. We'll move on to the CWG stewardship update. And since Lise isn't there, maybe I'll ask a combination of people to provide an update from where the CWG is, and I'll start with Alan, and then Bart, you're going to add some detail as well. Alan?
Thank you, Byron. Following Singapore, a couple of things have happened in the CWG. Generally, we've tried to rejig our working methods, number one. Number two, there's a recognition that a lot of the analysis of the four options that are on the table really turn on the availability of outside legal advice, which is coming, which for which a lawyer has not yet been contracted. So in the face of that, the approach the CWG has taken is to establish a number of what they call design teams, which apparently are modeled after something the IETF, where the IETF works. I'm not sure about that. And a number of these design teams are in the process of being established. I'm not looking at the full list myself. I think Bart has it. But I think three that are of particular interest to us that I know are being formed is one that they're calling SLE. That stands for Service Level Expectations. And Paul Kane is leading on that and has done a considerable amount of work in collecting data on the actual experience of registries in getting service out of IANA. There's another team being formed around the CSC that's being led by Donna Austin from the Registries Group. But I'm not up on where they are specifically. And thirdly, there was a proposal from me actually to do something around an appeal mechanism for CCTLD delegations and redelegations. I can just speak to that specifically, which is to say there was a bit of debate on list about this. I think there was a not thorough understanding of what the objective of this would be. So I'm going to rewrite the design team proposal to clarify that really what the objective will be is to see if there's enough consensus in the CCT community for any form of appeal mechanism. And God willing, I can get that out today and have it discussed again at the CWG meeting tomorrow. So let me, if there's questions, I think you can put them to Bart or myself. But Bart, can you let us know what the other DTs are?
No, I can provide you the list. There is, say, that list is still under development. But, say, as Alan already said, the idea is that, say there will be three design teams or agile teams, however you want to call them, work in parallel. And as soon as they've done, other teams will start working. The way it will work is that the design teams will provide, say, some propose some language to be included in the final proposal, and the proposed language will be discussed by the full CWG to move forward. If you look at the two or the three concurrent ones, say the one that has made most progress to date is the service level expectations group, say under Paul. They've done some preliminary work on describing the processes and checking them with real-world statistics, and then based on that they will see whether there is any additional need for specific service levels or processes. And then they will may come up with mechanisms to what to do in case of to change the service levels post transition. So it's more creating a baseline for service levels. The CSC or customer service group is led by Donna and Stefan Johnson. They will submit or have just submitted their scoping document for discussion by the working group tomorrow, and it is quite extensive, and it builds on the proposal from or the December proposal on the CSC, and take into account the work on the functional analysis of the CSC post the December document. And this group will include at least two GTLD registry operators, and we're seeking two additional CCTLD operators as well, because at the end of the day, it's about the customer servicing. That sounds nice. So that's where we are, and then the list of design teams itself, or proposed design teams, will be finalized in the course of this week. And the mechanism is that, at the end of the day, the co-chair, so that means Lisa and Jonathan, need to approve a design team in order to start working. And they are linked with another document, which is a kind of template for the proposal. So people are working and are now geared into preparing a proposal, and the timeline is that, or it is expected that the items will be filled in or at least are assigned by the face-to-face meeting of the CWG in Istanbul. That's on the 22nd and 23rd of March, or the 6th and the 27th of March in Istanbul, where they will have their face-to-face meeting. I don't know, Paul, you want to add anything I've said around the SLE group? If not, then it's fine. Any questions?
I'm happy to answer any questions anyone has. We have just started, and what we have done is analyzed the performance that ICANN, IANA, has delivered since September 2013. And I have to say the performance is pretty good. The graphs are publicly available. Bart will know where they are. Some anomalies have risen, which we intend to ask ICANN privately about, because it looks there could be some external forces at play that have actually led to updates being delayed. But overall, the update process that IANA is following is pretty efficient, albeit we've identified a number of areas of improvement, some of which IANA are already thinking of implementing, specifically the authorization concept, because some CCs seem to put in a request for a change. The IANA, within less than a day, sends the template back that the admin and technical contact need to return to authorize the change, but they seem to fail. So IANA are already thinking about introducing an authorization contact, and that would address that issue, which sometimes causes changes to drag on for a number of weeks. But the data and statistics obviously are publicly available. They're on the ICANN IANA performance site, and our analysis is also available. That's on the website.
Maybe just one point in addition. So for this group includes, say, with Paul, it also includes two registry operators and two CCTLDs. So that's Patricio and Jay Daly. I see, Martin, your hand is up.
Yes, thanks. Thanks, Bart. It's on a different issue, so... Paul's still got any points to make on the SLE, or anybody who's got any points to make on any of the other design teams, I'm happy to let them go first.
I don't see any other hands up, Martin, so...
Okay. I thought it might just be useful to update you on the progress on the print which have lain fallow 100% through my own fault since our call during the Christmas New Year's break. I updated the document yesterday, day before. I'm losing track of the time. That went out, and we had about 20-30 minutes on that last night, and I'm now pulling together what I hope is a near final version. The areas that had been identified as having some issues, I think we're in sight of a solution, and I hope Paul will concur with me on that. But I have had quite a big issue come up from Eric for the Latin America region, and he is challenging a clause that looks at ICAC not being able to impose any additional conditions against policy or process has been identified by the local community, and we seem to be running into a language problem, so I'm going to try and take that offline with him tonight and see whether he can essentially what he's doing is he's going straight across what I have flagged as probably being a significant red line, and that is that he wants the IANA functions operator not to be able to counter something that is in law, whereas I'm saying, well, actually, no, they shouldn't counter something that has been reach through the national policy process, whatever that might be, whether it be hard law, soft law, regulation, actually the registry's own local process. And as I say, I certainly for Nominet, that will be a red line, and I suspect for quite a number of other European CCTLDs, I think the issue starts becoming an issue perhaps associated with registries in the Latin American region, or perhaps it's just simply a problem of translation between English and Spanish. Anyway, that's what I just wanted to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Paul?
I would just like to say I think Martin is doing an amazing job in fairly difficult circumstances to try and bring this principled document to conclusion. Like Martin, I don't quite understand what Eric's concerns are. In fact, I wasn't really aware of them until I had a quick look at the list this evening. So there is a language issue there, or this afternoon. One of the things that I don't think this principles document should address, but one of the things to consider is that the governments or the GAC particularly are holding the view that their opinion or directive sent to IANA should be followed come what may. My concern, not that I don't know how to handle it, but I'm just thinking out of the box, is for registries that already have registrations and relationships with their registrant customers, what happens post-transition, post-redelegation? Those registrants will want to be assured that they are going to enjoy the use of the CCTLD, because that's what they paid the previous registry for. And so I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand Eric's point, but it could be his concern is that, I don't know where he's going, to be honest, but it could be that the past, the data has to go from the old registry to the new registry to ensure the stability of the user space. And I don't know how to address that. That's just a point.
Thanks, Paul. And Martin, maybe I could suggest, too, that there's an opportunity to involve the regional organization through Carolina, who may be able to help paint the picture a little more clearly in both directions. So it's just a suggestion. Thanks, Paul, for that. Peter, go ahead.
Thanks, Byron. I was actually going to suggest exactly the same thing as you just did. So Carolina could be helpful in translating what Eric wants. And I would be happy to reach out to him as well if you think that would help matters further and complicate them. Other than for a couple of years when he was GM for Lexia, I would be happy to try and sort this out.
Okay, Peter, thank you for that offer. I'll let Martin take you up on it. Stefan, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Sorry for being late. Regarding this, Eric, he has been rather persistent and consistent on protection from his own government from throughout all of the process. So I think this might become a red line in two directions, actually. So I welcome every help we can get to solve this, because it's a very tricky one, and the idea of using regional organizations is a very good solution, I guess. So I'll just hope this is interpretation, as Martin put it, because otherwise it might become complicated. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. Martin, you have your hand up?
Thanks, Byron. I put my hand up because I had already thought about the regional organization and have been in touch with Carolina, and she came back pretty promptly and said she didn't understand what he was getting at either. So, you know, there is obviously a specific problem that he is trying to raise, I think I will go back to her and ask her whether she can try and do a bit of digging directly with Eric. There are actually two issues he's got. The issue that Paul just raised about the responsibility to existing registrants has been parked for the moment, because there is this bigger issue of, you know, how do you say to the IANA functions operator, hands off, you can't make rules for CCTLDs that then become a condition of giving the service. The second point, which Paul refers to, has also got problems associated with it, because there is then that sort of fairly close link between them starting to take responsibility for registrants, and again, that might be either indirect contradiction to local existing policy, so for an existing manager, and it might actually then give legal or local problems. So I think it might be possible to clarify the wording on that, but I don't think it belongs in the clause he's trying to put it, because then it confuses the option of providing a service to the registry with additional conditions, which I think is not a safe direction to go. Thank you.
Well, I think you're correct in that it's challenging to fully appreciate where he's coming from on this, and if it's as articulated, it would pass a bright line for any number of us, as we've already heard. So I look forward to you taking that offline and sorting through that. Thank you, Martin.
Okay. I will take the hit on my inbox so that others can save space in there.
You have broad shoulders, Martin. Thank you. With that, I'm going to suggest, in the interest of time, that we're going to move on to the accountability agenda item. Mathieu is not with us today, but he had sent a written submission to the group. And if there's any comment or question, Roloff is also on the accountability work group, so perhaps he could offer his thoughts to supplement what Mathieu has provided us in a written format, and if we have any questions, I'm going to put Roloff on the spot to answer them for us. So, Roloff, do you have anything further you'd like to add to Mathieu's comments and or provide us your take on what's happening in the accountability track?
Hi, Byron. This is Roloff. Mathieu covered it pretty well, I think. Maybe what I could add is that we're also working on a document with questions for the legal experts. It's not yet completed. It's quite a document. I think we have to make it shorter than it is now. But already, if we would send out the present version of the document, I think we would not get the legal advice in time to work on it work it in our present proposals before we have to go out to the community. So there's already a time constraint there. On the other issues that we work, one of the issues we're working on is incorporating the information of commitments into ICANN's bylaws, or at least the important bits of the information of commitments. Review teams, for instance. Like Mathieu said, we're working on the power to remove board members, and the discussion is now focusing on the question, should that power be the removal of the whole board and any part thereof, so also individual board members, or should it be the whole board or nobody? We haven't resolved that one yet. I think those are the most important issues that we're working on. There's still quite a lot of work to do.
Thank you.
We're having a conference call of my work party, so we've divided the work in two parties. I'm in work party one. We're having a call which is back-to-back with this one, so I have to quit this call, by the way, about 5 minutes before the end. I think, like you all know, we're having a face-to-face meeting later this month in Istanbul.
Okay, thank you, Rola. I have a question for you. When you raise the topic of removing board members or spilling the board, one of the issues that's going to cross between the CWG and the CCWG is essentially what happens if, through all redress mechanisms on the IANA functions side, a suitable resolution cannot be found. Has there been discussion about what a process might look like to remove a board member, some board members, all the board members, if the IANA services or the IANA functions are not being dealt with in a way that meets the community's requirements? Has there been any thought or at least recognition of that possibility yet?
Sorry, I was on mute. The removal of a board member, multiple board members, or the whole board is seen as an ultimate solution to all kinds of situations, among which I'm sure we include malfunctioning IANA services, although my point would be that it's probably the worst solution. The worst way to improve the IANA services to remove the ICANN board, because as far as I know, IANA performs a technical role. It does what comes out of a policy process. So IANA can, in principle, only fill technically, and I think that's the case. It's better to replace the technicians than the board. But that's my personal opinion. But it's one of the test cases and that we use and where we see if the powers that we now envisage that the community would get are enough after the IANA stewardship transition.
Great. Thank you for that, Rola. Keith, do you have your hand up?
I do indeed. Thank you, Byron. Following up, and it's probably an unfair question for Roloff in a way, Roloff, you were talking about the timeline and how difficult it might be for the accountability group to meet the deadlines. Rather than sort of saying, you know, do you think you can actually make it? Would it be a fairer question to put to the accountability group to say, when is a reasonable time frame? What time do you need after the face-to-face meeting in order to feel comfortable that you have covered all the issues relating to the IANA transition? I'm aware it looks a bit sort of like a push from the ICG that various deadlines must be made, and so let's look at it the other way from bottom up and say, how much time do you need to do the job properly?
Keith, I don't think that's an unfair question, so I'll give you a straightforward answer just with the side note that it's my personal answer. I'm sure that not the whole working group has yet come to grips with how realistic our plan or how unrealistic it is. I cannot speak on behalf of the chairs. I think in Mathieu's note, between the lines, there was already some hesitation if the planning was still realistic. But the answer to your question, yes, in my opinion, that would be a much fairer question. When can this be ready? I think we're not in a phase at the moment where we could actually provide you with a precise answer, but I think it would be after the present deadline.
Okay.
I cannot see how we can follow the right process, get the necessary quality, make sure that there is enough support, and still meet the deadline.
Could I therefore suggest that perhaps during the face-to-face meeting that theme be considered, so that coming out of the end of March we would have an actual understanding of what the timeline could be to properly do the job?
It is definitely on the agenda. Again, I'm not convinced that the working group will be able to come up with a guaranteed time frame. But I think by then we should definitely be able to tell us if we are going to meet the deadline or not. But like I said, already the legal advice is on a critical path that extends, in my expectations, beyond the existing deadline.
Thank you, Roloff.
Did I answer your question, Keith, in a way that it made some sense?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Roloff or comments around the accountability track? Okay, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is around timelines. So that was a good segue into it. There are two bullet points here, one around timing of any further public comments, and I think...
Byron, just for your information, Paul Kane has his hand raised, maybe there's a point on the previous thing.
I'm not following Roloff's group or the accountability group at all, but my understanding is... CWG is going to ask accountability group specific questions with regard to what mechanisms they propose to address issues that the CWG will raise. And so just following on from Roloff's point, if the CWG hasn't been asked the question by the Roloff's, the accountability group hasn't been asked the question by the CWG group, I would endorse Roloff's view that things are really going to slip, because even when we get the answer back, we don't know if the answers that the accountability people give will meet the concerns of the CWG group. I'm just thinking on the hoof, but it's a real issue that things are slipping by, and the CWG group, to answer Peter Van Roster's question in the chat, I have no idea why legal analysis hasn't even been started. They're still trying to shortlist who the legal advisor or firm should be, and I don't think the questions to the lawyers, that they want to ask the questions, they've been finalized, which questions they want to ask. So Again, that's nothing to do with me, but it is really dragging, or the CWG process is dragging a fair bit, so I'm almost certain we will not meet the timelines.
Roloff, did you want to respond to that?
Yes. Well, there, I think on the good side, there is quite a bit of exchange between the co-chairs of both working groups. So I think that in the end, the chances that we come up with recommendations that don't fit the concerns of the CWG, they're not that big. I think they're slim. There's enough collaboration and coordination between the two working groups to work that one out. But for the rest, I agree with Paul. I don't know why this coming up with questions for the legal experts takes so long. I think, once again, and we fall in that pit quite often, we're trying to make it perfect and think about all possible scenarios and very exclusive situations beforehand, and that makes us really slow in coming up with something. So I think now we have something like a 3 or 4 page document, which is already difficult to read. It will take several weeks for the experts to come up with a reaction. That's the expectation of our legal team. And I'm sure that we will have follow-up questions for the legal experts that will take another few weeks to come up with and another few weeks to respond to. I think it's a quite kind of a general problem in both working groups that we are kind of overcomplicating matters. And I'm trying my best to keep it as simple as possible. But sometimes I'm beginning to think that I'm probably missing things because there seems to be such a gap between what we tend to do and what I feel that is really necessary to do that I can no longer think it's just the other guys who are not seeing it.
Thanks, Roloff. Bart, did you...
I just want to maybe say both Alan and I forgot to mention it in our update on the CWG itself. They are on the brink of selecting an external and independent legal expert. And it is anticipated once they have this firm hired, then say... getting responses or, say, asking questions and getting responses from the independent legal experts will speed up. But currently, at least from the CWG, on the CWG side, it's taken quite some time to solicit the independent legal expert. They had to follow a certain process. So they're now having a short list of 3, and they have a preferred firm, and hopefully by the end of this week, early next week, they will announce the name of the firm.
Okay, thanks, Bart. In terms of the sub-bullets on the agenda, These are suggested items for discussion. I'll just pick up on the second bullet point first, which is around decision making by the CCMSO. It's certainly my sense that we won't be in any position to make decisions, obviously, until the various drafts come out, which to me, I think, would warrant face-to-face time. So at this point, I can't see any decisions from a timeline perspective even being contemplated prior to the face-to-face BA meeting in Buenos Aires. So not that that is locked in stone, but I can't see anything happening prior to our next face-to-face where we have the opportunity for, further meaningful discussion once we've received the draft. unless there's any comments on that, I think we'll move to the next agenda item.
If I may, I would like to comment, or I'd like to ask a question.
Sure, please do.
Could you give me an overview of how you see the decision-making moving forward, and how are non-CCNSO members going to be consulted and their opinions sought?
Well, to be perfectly blunt, Paul, I don't think we have the decision-making process nailed down from a principal's point of view. Clearly, we, and I say that we as the CCNSO, are very sensitive to the fact that the CCNSO isn't the entirety of the CCTLD community, and are doing our utmost to make sure the entire CCTLD community is involved, though how that process is actually going to take place is still a work in progress and something in discussion at the CCNSO council level. So I can't give you a crisp answer right now, but one of the key principles is there has to be broad CCTLD consensus. That doesn't mean unanimity, but broad consensus across both CCNSO and non-CCNSO members. Hopefully that, while not a clear, not a crisp answer, it is what I can provide right now. So with that, we'll move to the next bullet point. Respecting we have about 10 minutes left and only about 5 minutes of roll-off time left, and that is actually around engagement of the CCTLD community, both from the stewardship and accountability track working group's perspective, and could I tap one from each of you to provide an overview of how those respective groups are actually engaging the community. So maybe Roloff, since you're short of time, we'll start with you first. Could you give us a sense of how the accountability working group is reaching out to the community and getting community input and what the plans are?
That's a question I find a bit difficult to answer, because I don't know at the moment what the co-chairs have actually planned. I know that we're going to the Center GA to reach out to that community. And of course, in the whole process, there is reaching out to the community with a proposal and getting reactions in. But I don't think that you're referring to that. I think that your question. Well, I assume that your question is about how we are keeping the community informed about what we are doing.
Yes,
and
that's more.
From what I just
said, because I know there is a, well, according to Mathieu's written submission to us, there is a proposed public comment period starting in early April.
Yes.
But if you're referring to how we are, in the meantime, keeping the community informed, I think all of us do that through our own constituencies, but I'm not able to give you another answer than that. And I'm sure Mathieu would be in a better place to react to that, but then, yeah, he's not there.
Okay, thanks. Bart, do you have any sense at this point?
Is what I know is that there are regular summaries, and we provide them to the email list, etc. But I say the reason for including this is both the CWG and the CCWG are on a very tight public comment period. And in order to, it's more that there is awareness, and that's why it was included as the public comment period as well, is what can we do or what could this group do to reach out and keep people abreast of what is happening and try to engage them in the public comment period or even in the process to avoid a situation like we had with the CWG where you have diverging views at the end of the public comment period. Because I think if this would happen again, but this is just my assessment, if for example the CWG would face a similar situation at the end of its public comment period as it has faced at the end of the CWG's first public comment period, then there is a serious risk to the whole process. So one way of dealing with it is to inform people up front of what they can expect.
Okay, thank you, Bart. Perhaps I could ask Paul Kane, since you are not a CCNSO member, and I believe the only one on the list here who's not a CCNSO member, what do you suggest? What are your thoughts on this topic?
So what the CWG group has been doing is basically running a survey, and that survey result is at ianaso.org, and CWG asked a number of questions at the ICANN meeting in Singapore on the 12th of February, and we asked the same questions online to the CCTLD community. The non-CCNSO members, periodically, I spam them to update them on what is going on and why it's important to them. The level of interest is zero. So although they are receiving messages saying this is important, they have almost outsourced the decision-making process until, you know, the proposal-making process until they have to make a decision. And I have to say, whilst I don't understand Eric's question, precisely, there are many CCs in the Latin American and Caribbean region that do have concern about possible direction ICANN is going, and so they're more worried about the ICANN issue without actually knowing the facts of the potential transition. So, as I say, we're doing surveys and a periodical spam email to the non-CCNSO members, but there's very little interest. Out of a spam of 60-odd email addresses, I might get 3 or 4 back asking for clarifications, but other than most are just thanks.
Okay. Thanks. So when it comes to the CCNSO making, trying to recommend a decision to ICANN, how do you have any thoughts on the decision-making process through the channeling through the CCNSO?
The problem is the survey the CWG has just concluded. If you look at the CC community's response, and that was 6 AFTLD, CCTLDs, 6 APTLD members, 20 centre members, 12 LAC members, which included 3 Caribbeans, the answers are split, so sort of 50-50. And what was interesting, even CCNSO members also weren't particularly engaged with the options available. The leading question, or the question, the substantive question, are you comfortable with ICANN as a policymaker also being the IANA operator without the benefit of external oversight? 55.3% of the respondents said no. 42% said yes. And the others didn't answer the question. So over half were not comfortable without the benefit of an external oversight body. That's a very difficult dilemma to try and address. Bearing in mind the current direction of travel is there isn't an external oversight body unless the lawyers say there have to be. There has to be. So in answer to your question, how to get consensus, it could be that the solution does accommodate both models. Namely, there is the IANA simple service organization, almost just a simple service contract for those that wish it just to focus on IANA-type stuff. And the other model is IANA services with consensus or CCNSO developed policies. I don't have a solution. But it could be, we don't want to force the more independent CCs into a particular constrained model, nor do we want to have those that want a constrained model to have to go to a more independent arrangement. So I don't have a solution, but I would like to make sure that the solution or solutions that are proposed accommodate both sections of our community.
Okay, thank you, Paul. We are at the top of the hour, so I'm just going to take a couple of more minutes to close this out. We'll close off on that agenda item, and maybe I could just ask either Bart or Keith provide an update on the, or Bart actually, on the submission of the FOI as a reference document.
What will happen is, or especially Keith, is we are working on preparing a submission to the submission to the ICANN board. Once this has been completed, then the FOI recommendations will be submitted to the CWG and CCWG. We anticipate this will happen before the upcoming council call on the 19th of March. So the CWG and CCWG can expect the FOI recommendation shortly.
Okay, thank you. The next call is 2 weeks from now, March 18th, at noon UTC.
Yeah, maybe there is an issue. What I've noted already is a lot of the ESTIC members have already indicated they will not be available at that time. So
maybe I can ask that, Bart, if you could take that away and see if we can, if it's possible, to find a better time.
Instead of noon, yeah. Okay.
Thank you. And Martin, I'm going to give you the last comment before we wrap this up. Or sorry, Peter, not Martin. Peter, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Brian. March 18th is also the date of the Central GA, and we're exactly discussing IANA stewardship and accountability at the time that was proposed. So I guess that quite a few of the central members have trouble joining as well. Which nicely brings me to my point that I want to make and to add for the central GA. We're going to reserve 5 hours of that GA to discuss nothing else but stewardship. I know that quite a few members will not be very happy with that, but I think it's probably our fine opportunity to get a really good understanding of what CTEs want. We hopefully by then can present at least some models or some principles or some mechanisms on which I'm planning to hold a vote, so that we have a clear understanding what at least the central community thinks. If this process would work well, then I'm going to advocate it with the other regional organizations. And that might answer your question from a couple of minutes ago, how I'm going to reach out to non-CC NSO members. Obviously, we do not cover the rest of the world. There's still an enormous gap, especially in the smaller and very hard to reach ET. But looking at Central, we have about 10 members that are not CC NSO members, some quite large in Austria, Denmark, Spain, Switzerland. And the same goes for other regions. So we're not going to bridge that full gap, but at least it will be very helpful. So if our model works, what we're going to try out is the GA is going to advocate it to other regional organizations, and that could at least bring in probably 30, 40 additional CCs to the voice of the CCs in the debate.
Peter, one question just for to organise this next call. So when does the Centre GA start? Is that on the Wednesday?
It starts on the 18th in the morning.
Okay, so what I will try to do is to organise this call for the Tuesday. Because the week after will be very difficult again, because then is the CWG meeting, the face-to-face meeting in Istanbul.
How about Friday? Would that, because then we can bring in the...
That would be, it's fine as well. I will try. We'll set out the doodle poll, which is easier.
Okay, thank you. And Peter, 5 hours of Viana transition discussion. That's... No wonder you're getting some resistance to that session. But I look forward. I look forward to the outcome.
They don't know yet, but it will happen.
You're not going to tell them until they're in the room, right? Okay.
No, the time slots are not online. We never do that. I will be met with some resistance, I'm sure.
Right. Okay, and with that, since we're a few minutes past the hour, I'm going to bring this call to a close. Thank you very much, everybody. I think that was a productive exchange and clearly highlighted some of the issues yet to be worked on.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.